international relations, they want the most favor of the fit.
With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is the spirit never dies. Lecturer Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Actually, the promise he made the first time was with first man. It was with Adam. When he told Adam that, all this is for you. I made it to yield its benefit to you. So when he told Adam that, that was the first promise. Then came his promise to Abraham, because man went out on his own and made the world so difficult for a righteous person to live in. So then he makes his promise to Abraham, our second father. And he made his promise to Abraham before he revealed to Moses. So Moses is doing his part of the book, his scripture. He's living his part of the scripture. His people are living his part of the scripture. But at the same time, God promises is still hanging over their heads, still dangling over their heads. Then what they went to get, they went to get out of Egypt. They wanted to have independence, so they can live like the Egyptians live. So they say, we aren't interested in this conversation that you want to have with your God. We know how to get over. We want to get over like Egypt got over. Aaron, can you help us? And he could. That's why God gave Moses Aaron, because Aaron could read the wisdom of the ancient Egypt. That's why God gave Aaron to Moses as an assistant or as a helper, so that when he had to meet the challenge of Pharaoh, the high priest, those who were high in the secret knowledge or the hidden knowledge, he had Aaron to help him, because like Prophet Muhammad, he couldn't read scripture. He couldn't read the language of secret religion or the wisdom. So they said, make us a golden calf. Now, if they ask the question, they know the wisdom existed. They wanted an ignorant society, but they knew that he was the most advanced in that skill. That's why they asked him to do it. They said, make us a golden calf. Then what he says to them in reply says exactly what I just said. He said, give me your earring. Give me the wisdom that you hear that rings the bell for you. You got a lot of wisdom here in this gathering or in this community of faithless Jews, and they were people of no faith. They didn't have faith. Did you see any time that they leaned back on their faith? They never lean back on their faith. All their crises in this life, and you've never heard in the scripture that the Jews cried out upon their faith. So, Brother Imam, I don't know exactly how to ask this, but you were explaining about faith and patience and how you got to have faith and we have to have patience, and how it started. So you said with Adam, and then it progressed. Could us having patience could be something like you had explained before about 2 weeks ago. You were talking about light years and how it is a light year with God. You could be right here, but it will take you a long time to get there. So if this world, if we are people of the expedience, and a lot of us want things to happen right away, right now, and if it doesn't happen now, then it's like, what has he done for you lately? So I'm asking, if our faith is not strong, then our patience will be weak. Then the success that this person or people might be looking for might take a long, long time. So could that be like light years if we don't have the faith and the patience? This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. Imam W.D. Muhammad, sure. And the expression light years that expresses was introduced by science, the science of the stars of the body in the skies. They know the scripture. They know that when God says 1,000 years of your time is maybe like 1 year with God. So when they talk about distance, for an example, distance in miles, after a while, these perceptions of time measurement, they become so burdened when you are talking about the distance of a planet or galaxy from one another. So to make it easy, they say light years. But where do they get that language from? They knew light is also wisdom and knowledge. So light years, to understand it outside of this, they borrowed it from religious language. Science borrowed it from the religious language. In fact, they borrowed most of what they have from the religious language. So that expression, light years, it helps us understand how to see a year with God in comparison to a year with man. With a man, man bases his time measurement on movement of the physical things, objects. The sun is a physical object, and it starts in the morning, the dawn, and it goes and it sets, and that's a certain amount of time. And when it comes back and shows again, it's only one day, 24 hours. So this is how man measures time. And we survived one winter, and now we are ready for spring. Mm-hmm. And spring and good times and good works and comfortable temperatures are going to end. And we will start winter all over again. So that's a year. But look what has happened. These are the physical pictures of changes in man's life. But what about an idea? How long would it take to materialize? How long would it take to bring about a changes that idea has the potency to bring about? They are light years with God. So a picture of a light bulb coming on is a perfect picture for explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. It depends upon how clear the idea is. If it's too obscure, it's not going to give you too much light. It isn't going to show you too many things. People think light is white, but it is not. Only certain substances burn white. They heat up white, but light isn't white. If light were white, you couldn't see pure light. It's transparent. And another thing that's good to observe about light They say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, that the whole universe bends, and that even light bends. So when you see clouds separate and permit small openings after the darkness or a heavy rain, you see color bending. That's the rainbow, but you see light going straight. Light doesn't bend, it goes straight. Have you ever seen the beams coming down through the clouds? They come straight. They aren't bent. They come perfectly straight. So God has put his signs in his work. So you heard the expression, he tries to bend the truth. You can't bend light. So the people of the first knowledge, ULIBAB, not in the Quran only, in the world, the people of the first knowledge, the knowledge born in man upon his observation of the objective world. That's first knowledge. So the people of the first knowledge, they apply it. Their instructions was to apply it. Don't just hold it and feel some kind of sense of security because you got it and others don't have it. No, you should apply it, use it in the world. So what we call the exact science, or what we call the scientific world, is the world that got the light and applied it. They are using it and getting the benefit and benefiting society with what they have. They make it work in the world. And they are so advanced over the spiritual world that they have just patience with the spiritual world, and some of them have separated perception from spiritual matters or from God. They say, you can only perceive what's possible for you in this material world. Forget about this other stuff that these other guys are buying, is busy with. Forget about it. So we are supposed to be leaders in the world, not leaders in some hidden zone above the people's head in the sky. So they have divided the world into spiritual and material circulars and religious. And it looks like they are bad guys. But the worst of the guy is the one that aspires to rise upon the air or the breath of the air, earth, and set himself in heaven. And God's deed, he wants to get up there and take the position that the people see as the seat of God. He wants to get up there and take that seat and show himself as God. Now, if we just look at religion as it has presented itself in the history of man's religion, is where you find the devil, the Satan, the oppressor. Satan comes in sizes according to Islam. There is the little Satan, and there are the middle sized Satan, and there are the big Satan. So the big Satan is the one that aspires to get up to the seat of God and sit on the seat, present himself as though he is God. Now, if the figure of Jesus Christ as a white person, if they are not the worst thing that the world has done, tell me what is. To put God in the image of a race that works for dominance and uses racism to suppress the oppressed and hold back one people and to free and advance another. So the white and the black races. So if that isn't the biggest crime and the worst crime against God and religion, tell me what is. Now, they don't want you to talk about that. But if you saw those Jews talking, they have no respect for Jesus Christ at all. Why? because they know that they have influenced the Gentiles who were pagans before. People believed in physical pictures more than they believed in pure knowledge. They convinced them to accept an image of a man as a god, and they called him Jesus. So they really laughed to themselves about Jesus. They say, Jesus is not real. He does not exist. He never did exist. That's what we give them, because that's what would satisfy them. They were used to seeing God in their own image. So we gave them a God in their own image. But that's not something we recognize. That's not for us. That's for them. As far as we are concerned, we have never lived. He has never lived. He never existed. That's in their minds, not all of Jews, but the great majority. They don't have to be Orthodox. They can be modern Jews, all of them. The great majority of them have no belief in Jesus Christ. You haven't even heard any of them acknowledge his existence. None of the less acknowledges him as a prophet. David was a Messiah, God says, and he anointed his head with oil. So David is the first of the Messiahs for the Jews. But what is David really? Is he a real person, a person that has a real place in the history of civilization and mankind? No. There is no David. David is a picture of a movement in the Jewish religious thinking, spiritual and scriptural thinking. That's all he is, a movement. And they say, well, we can't accept any Messiah unless he comes from the house of David. So you made this person real. You can't accept him, no. He is supposed to represent a movement in the religious thinking of the Jewish people, God only begotten. So they say, if you can't show us that, then we aren't accepting it. And if you understand the Quran says he is a spirit and a word from God. So in other words, he is nothing but an influence. He is a language and an influence. And what influences is the course of the civilization more than the language. Nothing has advanced man and this material world more than language. So if you don't have the language, you can't advance. They have the most undeveloped language. But those languages that have engaged in external reality and man's own reality, those are the languages that have become universal. And they are the languages that carry light and move man into civilization. So this word, Jesus Christ, he makes it very plain. In the beginning, there was a word. Before the foundation of the word, I am and I exist. I existed that, the Bible, because he had to exist first to materialize the knowledge so that we will have foundation for the world. So I think I shared this with Raphael a long time ago. But if you could understand, if you could get this picture and not have it stretch you out, or confuse you, all that man has achieved in the world or on this earth is nothing but an unfolding of what is him already. God gave man an appetite, a material appetite for everything in creation. And that's how he engages matter in response to it, and then reproduces it, has given us all that we have. So the advancement of knowledge and science, the evolution of it, or the advancements of it, is focused as a human person. So when we look at the human person, we see by way of interpretation or translation, we see the future creation. We see the world that we see now, the world of man, the world of his products, his production. We see the environment of man, for he is a physical body. But look where he comes from. Look where that material body started. It started in something that you can't even see with your physical eye. And the more it grows toward the destination or its maturity or its fulfillment for its own growth and development, the more complex it gets and the more productive it gets. It starts with a germ. You can't even perceive that. So you can't see it with your physical eye. As far as your physical eye is concerned, if you were to question your physical eye, you would say, does he exist yet? The physical eye would say, no, I can't find him anywhere. So we are already existing in a germ like a seed. So if it's placed in the right environment where it can rest and be comfortable, and not be disturbed by anything, it starts to grow in that environment, and it turns out to be a complete structure, a human person, and delivered from the computer or from the factory called the mother, full person. So then when the full person comes into the world, it starts feeding on everything it can see, it can reach. And then a world that had no visibility either starts coming into form. So actually, the human person was a condition that was to happen before even the world could be formed or have existence. So I'm not talking about the world God made. That was out there long before human. The world that counts with us is the world of man, not just the world of that God made. So the world that God made is nothing but food for man. And he says he made the whole world for his human creation. And he didn't create man from any purpose greater than the purpose of his mercy. So what is his mercy? For his mercy, it is to relieve the burden on life. What life? Human life. There isn't any burden on any other life, that they are not even aware of burden. Everything that hurts them, they think it was necessary. It was expedient, consequences. But man questioned consequences, and he says, why does this happen? And I believe I can change this. So this is philosophics. This is religious philosophics or spiritual philosophics. So this is philosophics. But philosophics has to come after science. So there was no possibility for science to develop before philosophic develops. So man had to first fall in love with the creation, with God's handiwork. He had to first fall in love with God's handiwork and extract it from what that he's engaging direction for his own intelligence and for his heart. And when he was able to do that, pretty soon he causes the material world to open up and reveal its hidden natures or its hidden operations that you don't see readily. So you have to have experiments, etc. So to see the inner workings of the material reality, so if he hadn't fallen in love with God, he would have fallen in love with knowledge. And if he hadn't fallen in love with knowledge, he would have fallen in love with God. So if he is hidden, falling in love with something external beyond himself, he would never have gotten the pure science. So this is all true. And they say, we wouldn't have found our path if it had not been directed to us or to them. That is in the Quran. إِلَّا مَا هَدَّهَا النَّشْلَ إِلَّا مَا هَدَّهَا النَّشْلَ Except by God guiding us to those paths. The philosophical says God was a hidden treasure, and he created man because he wanted to be discovered. But does God have an ego like humans, like man, such that he wants to be known for his high value or divine existence? No. Why does he want to be discovered? Then why did the philosophers say he was a treasure? The human mind picture as Abraham hadn't searched for the existing world or reality to make sense of it and hadn't come to the conclusion that this is one system, one logic. It is not in conflict with itself. And that tells me that it couldn't have happened without a purpose and without it being designed that way, because I am a mind, and I am human. I am a mind, and this world feeds my mind and has fed my mind and has shown me its unity. So my conclusion is there must be a living reality behind that of a different nature and superior to it that causes to exist. And he did it all for the human being, for his creation, so that his creation would advance and have comfort, unmanageable. He created man, especially for his mercy. So when I was a young minister, reflecting on the so-called primitive people and how the Indians and other primitive people have tried to show the evolution of man and put creatures on the totem pole, showing a progression of life, that all these lives are in one stream or in one progression. And this is a picture or diagram of something showing man's existence with all these other creatures, and man ascended higher in the pole. So philosophically thinking, and that my nature to think that way, and it's philosophical thinking. It is a forward progression that eventually unfolds the exact science. So the philosophical thinking, I'm a man, and I think, and I have more freedom to think, and there are more possibilities for me as a free thinker than it is for any other life that exists. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. I'm made of the world. My living body is made of the world. It came from the world that God created. And then my mind is the influence by the world God created. And it comes to life and starts to form and grow because of its feeding on the life that God has created. It eats chicken. And when I eat chicken, the chicken has a chance to rise high to the highest possibility. For the flesh of the matter, when he enters my matter, so he becomes a part of my matter. Now he is in a situation that lifts him up to the highest possibility for living things. Can you see how it's justified that God gives us these things and that he says he created man for the world and the world for man? The world has no real purpose without man, and man has no real purpose without the world. So if we look to make sense of things, we can do it much better than anybody that's trying to do it without the guidance of God. In fact, we are the only one that can do it. Now, you tell me, I eat, and what I eat replenishes my cells in my body. So you tell me this, my flesh isn't chicken. This is chicken and fish. This is lamb and this is goat. And this is oxen, hydrogen. So this is everything that comes into me, into my body. So if God so crowns the creation with me, everything has been crowned or lifted to the seat or to the throne because of my existence. If you could follow that line of reasoning, then look at this way. They can't appreciate each other, and they can't appreciate their own existence. But God has created me to appreciate myself and all of them in a framework that's wonderful and beautiful. Actually, their reality remains low until man engages them in his thinking, even if he can't see the material proof that these things have been not put down, but they have been put on earth to be lifted up once they are in a man. If they can't see that, then see at least that my themselves, they have no real existence of glory. But when they come into the life of man and become a part of his world, they are raised up in importance and values, their meaning becomes so much greater. So everything is fed into a higher and that's intelligent man. Imam W.D. Muhammad, students are taught about the food chain in schools, but what about the man consuming all of them, whether he takes them physically into his body or not? With his intelligence, he is consuming all of them. So their concept becomes much more important once man brings their concept into his vision or into his reading or matter and the world. But that's real. Whatever you consume, if it is consumed by your flesh, it becomes your flesh. And the reason why we can't eat pig, we digest pig with our minds, with our intelligence. But the Muslim can't eat the flesh of a pig or of a hog. That has to do with psychology and moral interests. So in the history of man's progression as a civilizer, man won't eat with little more discretion. He was hungry, so he killed something, tears his hide off it and eat it raw. So if he smelled it and thought it wouldn't kill him, he would eat it. That's how he survived. But the more nature in him grew as he grew, and he interacted with the world, more nature in him grew, and he grew to become so strong that he couldn't stomach his past behavior. And he doesn't even want to eat it raw. He wants to cook it. So he rises up to a level of moral insight and moral discretion that he looks at a thing that just arouses disgust in him. The behavior is digesting pig behavior, digesting pig sound, digesting, and he says to himself, if I accept this thing into my life as a support for my life, and I continue to kill and eat it, it is going to affect my moral nature, my human sensitivity. It is going to affect me psychologically. So I don't like to flack in the presence of me. I don't like to fart in the presence of the people eating around me. But this thing farts even in the face of the other pigs that's eating with him and making all of these nasty sounds. So if I eat that thing, it's going to affect me psychologically. Now, I know there are scientists that are real, real bad, but I think that the most aimless society you can find on this planet Earth is the American people. You go amongst those that are less developed, and they don't have these nasty habits. And those who fix up the Bible, they have respect for the Word of God. And they have respect for people, for human life and conditions. So really, they never said that the pig was going to eat. That's the church that interpreted it that way, that Jesus Christ said, behold, I make everything new, making everything new. Doesn't mean that everything is fit to put in your mouth. A new rat shouldn't be eaten. A new pig still a pig. But before he was only a pig. And if you understand the science of Jesus Christ, how he is the son of science and the son of light and sciences in the world, and now when he shines on a pig is no more a pig physically. A pig is a pig as a body of knowledge or science. That's the newness of the pig. The intelligence has been advanced and lifted up and raised so that it doesn't see only a pig. It sees sciences in the skin of the pig, sciences in the hair of the pig, sciences in the bones of the pig, sciences in the life germ of the pig. And then he gets sciences, and he finds that this is a pig, but this will heal this disease or help this condition in man as medicine from the pig. Behold, I make everything new. Now, that's the newness. And in making everything new, he raises the value of everything previously perceived. Because it's no more just a physical animal. It is an embodiment of knowledge and science. We say, Washakuli Sheldon Ilma Rachmatin. Rachma, once again. Washakuli Sheldon Ilman Rachma. And he caused everything to be created to broadcast knowledge of science and mercy. Did mercy come to society before science? Only a little bit. But when the knowledge of the science came to the society, the great relief came to man. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. So, man, it is a whole new possibility for life and comfort or freedom from the sickness or disease or pain. Transportation itself, look how it has reduced the pain people had to undergo to travel to their relatives who live 1,000 miles away or less. It has all been brought about because of man's brain disguising what it engages and then reproducing it for the benefit of society's knowledge and mercy. So the whole creation, everything in it, everything's a spark of, in a spark of dust, no matter how small the material reality is. It is all communicating knowledge of science and mercy. That's the strongest urge in the soul and in the intelligence of people. A lot of them don't register it because they are so taken by other things of less importance in their environmental circumstances. So they never are really turned on as an intelligent being or organism that wants to make sense of things, that wants to make sense of what it is exposed to or what is exposed to it. So they don't get that. But for those who are situated to start developing that way, their gravest urge in them is to do just that, make sense of things. So you know when babies come here, girls and boys, not just boys, when babies come here and it's obvious right and it's obvious right away, as soon as it gets here, it's obvious that they have an interest in what their eyes have opening upon. Their mother would be holding them, and they would be picking at their skin and want to know what is this. And they don't know that the eye is very sensitive, and sometimes they'll be picking and tear, and their mother would have to put their hands away because they are going to put their hands right in their eyeballs, right? Inside, up under the eyelid, where the eyes is. They are going that because they want to know. So the first appetite in human life is not an appetite to fulfill your physical need or is to eat physically. It is the appetite to eat mentally. And that's the meaning of Adam. He created that first man, and he was Adam, meaning the first man was the man that wanted to make sense of the world that he is exposed to, including himself. And so God says he taught him the names of all the things. So then the devil comes up and offers him an apple, all of this animal. All the animals know to go to the physical thing and eat. That isn't a big deal. But the human was made to go to the physical thing and eat it with his mind, not with his physical mouth and teeth, etc. But eat it with his mind and make sense of it to satisfy the human soul. Things have to make sense. And I don't know anything that burdens the African-American soul more than the church religion. And that's what God did. That's what holds them. That's what has held them up until now. And those that are still held in human condition, they are still in the church, except for a few, a very few. And even those who leave the church, they don't leave the intelligence of Christian life. They just leave. That's turned their intelligence off. So the worst of all citizens of this country are those who were brought upon without knowledge and left with a belief that Jesus Christ, the physical conception or the physical concept that they see, that was introduced to them, that's a person and that's God. They are the worst of all African American people. They are the worst off. All of the citizens of the United States of America, they are the ones that are so far from the light of intelligence that you don't see any evidence or it being in them at all. They are actually retarded, seriously retarded mentally. So I'm not joking when you see them and they talk to you, their minds are so empty of anything that you can respect that much that it almost makes you want to cry. Even in their faces are turned and you go somewhere and cry. And some of them are not immoral. They have decency. They respect you. They may say, hey, Mr. Muhammad, if they accidentally throw something on your car, they will say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And they'll start trying to wipe it off. But they have no spirit to engage you in intelligent conversations. So all they do, if they work, and some of them work too, they will go out and work, but they can only hold jobs that requires little or no intelligence. They'll go to work, come back, eat, laugh, go to bed, get up, and repeat it, and go back to work. On the weekend, they'll go and see Tarzan movies. And if you tell them that it isn't real, they will say it is real. They actually think what they see on a movie or in a movie on the screen actually happens or is real. I've been in the movie, I know it, and I've been in the movies with them and heard them arguing with each other. The more intelligent ones or the more educated ones were trying to tell the other ones, man, that didn't happen. That ain't real. It didn't die. He didn't die. He didn't get killed. And the other ones would say, he did, man. He did. I heard this myself. And believe me, as advanced as this world is right now, I guarantee you that you could ask the people in the audience, mostly African Americans, but a few other races too, you ask them, can that really happen? Is that real? They would say, it is. Or they might not say anything. They may just remain silent and just look at you just to say, I don't understand what you are talking about. That's reality. That's reality. And I'll tell you how you can see the effects of unreal things occurring on these people whose minds are not developed by knowledge or by learning. You will see the behavior on the screen and see how they behave on the screen suggests that you won't die if you jump off the high building or if you get shot. You can get right back up and keep going. Then you look at the violence in the public life, in the life of the people, and see how they just invite death. It's been planted in them. Philosophically, to think without thinking or to feel without thinking that I can be shot and still live, I can be thrown off of the 7th floor window I can be thrown the seventh floor window and lodge and get up off the ground and keep going. So what am I saying is that this is what appears to be a desire just to kill themselves is more than that. It's the pulse of couple with the influence that have reached their mind and have made them tend to take risks. They risk life with a picture in mind, then survive it, escape it, getting back up, and keep running or keep walking. In the movie, they may see someone get shot, get knocked down, and appear in another movie, right? So they would think, oh, I saw that guy get killed. There he is again. They see a guy, this is fiction, all fiction. But the ignorance separates fiction from reality all of the time. This guy gets shot by 10 or 12 men with automatic weapons, and he keep coming. So when the police says stop, their minds go back to the movie subsequently, and they think that they can keep walking against a barrage of bullets. And the proof is they do it. They threaten the police and keep disrespecting them and keep threatening the police. And the police is shooting and they are still coming. So if we can give people religion that respects their intelligence, it will lift the value and the worth of human beings in society high enough for Hollywood and the police and law enforcement and everybody, everything, to have a higher appreciation and a respect for human life. It has to come from religion, just like religion has been responsible for not only lifting human life, responsible also for fixing creation people who are not self-assertive enough to meet the challenge of life. It has fixed it so they can be satisfied with religion of man, a religion of make-believe. And that keeps them from advancing their life and intelligence. So inshallah, we are going to defeat it. Yes, we are. We are defeating it slow, but we are defeating it. And there are other peoples who feel the same as we feel. But most of them don't have faith in the value of the common person created by God, like we do. Salakallahu ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.